Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the chocolate room. Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three. Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination.
You're listening to the Beer Coasters Podcast, the number one self-absorbed beer show from coast to coast,
and every once in a while, in between.
Hey, I'm Dylan, brewer at Cape Ann Brewery, and you're listening to the Beer Coaster.
Hi, my name is Peter Zion. I'm the owner of Alesmith Brewing Company here in beautiful San Diego, and Beer Coasters rocks.
My name is Charles Finkel, and I'm the founder and the president of the Pike Brewing Company here in Seattle. I'm glad to be on the Beer Coaster.
Blah, 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 I want my beer, damn it!
Beer Coaster Rhythms.
Seems to fly by for me.
Hello.
Really? It's already time? Oh, wait. Sorry.
We're live.
Hello. Welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast. This is season six. Still season six. Yeah. It's an entirely self-absorbed beer show devoted to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast and every once in a while in between. I'm your host this week, bi-weekly. I don't know how to like introduce that, but still this week.
This part of the month. Well, and you could say I'm your host this month because you only do it once a month now. So.
That's true. But then now that might get even more confusing.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
So who else is with me? What's that other voice I hear?
Well, this is Toby in San Diego, California, and I'm joined by a special guest.
Charlie in San Diego, California.
Ta-da! That's right. Beer Coaster Charlie's back.
Woo-hoo!
And we have some special beers for you.
I think it's coming up on almost 2 years now since Charlie was on the show, because when we did the...
Wow.
Or was it just last summer?
No, it was probably 2 years ago.
When we did the South Pacific World Tour, he was on the Japan show.
Yeah, the Japan issue. Yeah. I was on there with Crazy Dave,
Big Gay Scott,
Chris was on there, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how long ago it was.
Yeah.
Chris was on.
Well, this show, because it's been so long since we've had Charlie on, it's a special show for Charlie. It's Charlie and the Chocolate Beer Factory. We're doing some special chocolate beers. Our main beer, what we're going to do here on YouTube for you to see, as well as here, is we're going to try Stone Smoked Porter with chocolate and orange peel. And then later on in the show, we got some Tasting Flight chocolate beers, which, Toby, Charlie, what are you going to be trying?
We will be drinking the New Belgium Salted Belgian Chocolate Stout.
God, it sounds so good. I can't wait.
Yeah, we got chocolate, orange peel, salt. What's next? I'll tell you what's next. It's the Evil Genius Brewing Company's Purple Monkey Dishwasher, which is a chocolate peanut butter porter.
Whoa.
Now, was that like porter. Invented on accident? Kind of like got your peanut butter in my chocolate stout? Or, you know.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it was like some weird mashup or they spilled beer together.
Get your chocolate in my peanut butter stout?
Yeah, or maybe that. Yeah. Or porter, isn't it? Yeah.
Peanut butter porter, yeah.
Right.
I think it's a porter. Now I guess I should have done my homework there. It is a porter, yes. Chocolate peanut butter porter. And I'm always curious anytime they do, you know, nutty beers, because I always wonder how that's going to be with, like, the head and stuff. You know, we talked about that before with, like, how do they extract the oils?
Two jokes right in there. You said nutty and head all in the same.
And extract.
I said extract. Anyway, without further ado, before this really just goes to hell.
This is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
Here it is.
So, here it is, yes. It is the Stone Brewing Company's smoked porter. This one is the special chocolate and orange peel. The Stone Brewing Company, of course, we've had them many times on the show. They are from... Whoa, oh. That was a really...
Slight technical malfunctions here. Please stay tuned.
Yes, I think his beer possibly exploded.
Yes, just a little bit too excited there.
Nope, mine's okay. Just pop mine.
Oh, that's... All right. Bear with us here for just a minute.
Yeah, it's craziness. No, my dad did that. I'm going to pour this, and I'll talk a little bit about the beer while Toby's mopping up the mess. Hopefully there's enough beer for them to drink.
I think we'll have a little left over. Hey, Mike, I got a question for you, though.
Oh, okay.
So, it'll clean off. So, smoked porter itself has been around for a long time. Remember the first time you ever had a smoked porter? Just the straight smoked porter?
Yes, I do, actually. It was... I want to say maybe like 2007. No, wait a minute. Doesn't make sense at all. That's way before then. Because it was before Stone's 8th anniversary. Because Stone's 8th anniversary is the first time I had the smoked porter with vanilla.
Oh, okay.
That's when they started, you know, they started experimenting, I think, with some of those flavors. But the smoked porter I used to have with Renee's brother... that used to be my favorite Stone beer, originally. Before Sublimely Subrighteous came out, smoked porter was probably my favorite Stone beer.
Yeah, I think it was a long time before I actually saw it in a bottle. It was something that I had only ever had, you know, I think it was most likely, I don't remember exactly the first time I had it, but I know that it was at a craft beer bar, and I had never even heard of it before. I mean, I knew of Stone and, you know, just kind of some of their standard, you know, just the IPA and the Ruination. And,
sure, yep. Arrogant Bastard.
And then, yeah, the Arrogant Bastard, you know, was really well known. But the Smoked Porter, you know, is just on tap. It was... You know, possibly maybe at O'Brien's or maybe at I don't know if Toronado was around yet in San Diego on 30th Street. But, oh my God, I just remember having it on tap and it was just so, you know, it's just got that. I mean, it was just so rich and, you know, but
time,
it wasn't overwhelming.
It was very, very smoky, and it was probably at the time, I don't think I had even experienced any kind of smoked beer. I may have even tried this before I got a chance to try Alaskan smoked porter.
Yeah.
So for me, it was definitely an experience. I really enjoyed how rich and smoky it was. And porter, at the time, was my favorite style anyway.
That's always been one of your favorites.
Yeah, it still is. It still ranks up there pretty high.
Yeah, and they've used it as a base for, you know, a lot of different flavorings, you know. Yeah. They've had the smoked porter with vanilla bean. They've had the smoked porter with chipotle peppers.
Yeah.
They've had, I think they've actually done a combination of those two as well.
Yeah, we've mixed those here on the show one time. We called it the chipotnilla, and we mixed them both together, and we thought that was actually a really, really good blend.
Whoa, that is some head.
Wow, that's like a...
I think there's like an entire beehive in there, too. Yeah. I think there's some honeycomb going on.
Yeah.
Looks like Mike, you remember... I remember us going... I think it was one of our first times going to the Ritual, and they had the smoked porter milkshake.
Oh, yes. And the reason we got the smoked porter milkshake... Didn't they, like, run it, like, they didn't have Speedway Stout or something? And they said that or maybe that was a different time. But that was amazing. The smoked porter milkshake. If you've never had one, listeners, you mix this stuff with some vanilla ice cream, and you will no longer have socks on your feet. I mean, it's going to completely blow your socks off. Yeah, it's pretty really impressive.
And the way they did it, they actually blended it all together. It was an actual milkshake, but yes. You know, we've also done it afterwards of just having basically a beer float.
Yep.
Using like smoked porter or like a chocolate stout, you know, like a Young's or a Rogue chocolate stout, something like that, you know, just with some vanilla bean ice cream in it.
Yeah.
Really, really, I mean, just amazing. But
yep.
Just, I remember that smoked porter milkshake, like we never even thought of doing something like that.
Yeah.
Until we saw it there.
Yeah, and it's good. I mean, and it's such an interesting combination too, to have a smoked beer with the ice cream was, you know, something that was just so completely different, but it was so good. It's kind of the first time, if you've ever experienced like chili pepper and chocolate, when you're first thinking of it, you know, you're thinking, I don't know if I want this at all, but when you try it, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
Well, it's like we tried, it was like a Russian Imperial Stout with ice cream, and that was good. But then with the smoked porter, it was like even better.
Yeah.
the smokiness just kind of really jumps out. And
yeah. Yep. Made all the difference. So now that Toby's right. Cleaned up, we'll talk a little bit more about the beer here. My head is gone. It's absolutely devoid of any head whatsoever. I didn't pour that aggressively. I was a little intimidated after what happened to Toby's beer.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what happened. I had it for, I don't know how long now, a month or two, stored on its side, and I don't know if that had anything to do with it. It shouldn't have. But, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where it just kind of exploded and just kept going. So that doesn't happen too often.
Well,
anyway, the head is settling down. We still
dark.
Got quite a bit, though. Yeah.
I mean, it looks just like a smoked porter. Wouldn't be able to tell any difference from the regular one.
So on the nose, there's the smokiness.
It's different. You get the smoky, and you
can definitely get the orange.
Yeah, it is kind of a very orange peely citrusiness.
Yeah. Got the orange rind.
But man, you can still smell that, just that base of that smoked porter coming through. Chocolate too. Kind of that, you know, like the chocolate orange wedges. You're getting a little bit
yes.
of that.
Yes. Yeah, I had one of those for the first time. Got to knock it against the table to break it all apart.
Like, yeah, it just opens up. Looks like a chocolate blooming onion.
Exactly.
I don't suggest chocolate onions, by the way. Just, I just want everybody to know that.
Well, if you deep fry the whole thing. Never know.
Yeah, deep fry it and dip it in chocolate, sure.
Deep fry anything, I'll give it a chance.
Add some bacon.
Deep fry it, add some bacon. That's it, we're going to have fried beer next episode.
Like the head is pretty much gone all the way down to where...
Yeah, I got a tiny little bit of film.
Yeah, definitely a lot of...
This kind of looks
like leftover
like,
suds. It's not even lacing. It's just suds. Yeah.
Looks like kind of Coca-Cola almost.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, yours. You still got some. I got like. We should see. I got like almost nothing.
Got some chunks floating around in there too.
Yeah.
Well, you weren't supposed to wring out the towel in your glass.
No, I was trying to save some.
We had to have something to taste.
I'm tasting some cotton fibers. All right, let's take a sip.
All right.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Now, see, I just, I hadn't talked about this on mic here, but, or on camera. I just previously had the smoked porter with vanilla, and this is so different. The flavor coming through, I mean, I'm tasting the orange and the chocolate. It really hasn't that interesting citrusiness to it.
See, I'm not getting much. I mean, I get the smokiness and a little bit of like an orange peel in there, but it's not.
It gives me really kind of a caramel cola, yeah. Like a cola type, not quite sweet, but there is something that's going towards the sweetness in the middle of the sip that I didn't get when I was trying vanilla. Vanilla was much more of just like that raw vanilla flavor and smokiness, and this is like you're getting some kind of sweetness that doesn't come out in the vanilla one.
I can definitely taste the orange in it. I mean, the main thing that I'm not getting, and I don't quite remember when I had it the other time, but for me, I actually don't taste a whole lot of the chocolate.
Yeah, it's almost like turning almost cinnamony.
Yeah, the chocolate is very, very subtle. There's a little bit in there, but yeah, mostly I get the smoke and the orange peel.
Some smoke, and then yeah, the orange, it's a very light, I mean, kind of citrusy, but it's a very orange.
Yeah.
I mean, orange peel, orange rind.
Mm-hmm. And it has a really light mouthfeel. For some reason, I know it's just a porter, so you're not, you know, you shouldn't expect it to be too
thick. Don't you ever say that again.
I knew when I said it,
If I ever hear you say just a porter, I will reach through this camera.
What I mean was, compared to a stout, it's not going to, you know, it's obviously going to have a lot lighter body and lighter mouthfeel than a stout. So you don't get, like, for some reason with the smoked porter with vanilla bean, I remember it being thicker and...
Well, the vanilla is a heavier flavor than an orange is. I mean,
an alcoholic type quality to it, too, that this doesn't seem to have as much of. I'm getting some little bit of that... You know,
to me, it seems really roasty. Carbonated, which I don't know if that just happens to be this bottle that exploded, and that's why, but it seems really almost kind of light and fizzy.
Yeah, it doesn't seem as smooth and rich as previous smoked porters. Yeah. It does seem quite carbonated. Oh, what do you think you guys would pair with this one? Because I'm thinking, I don't know if I want dessert with this beer. I think I could.
If it was a dessert, it'd be something like a tiramisu.
Yeah. I was gonna say chocolate covered strawberries. Right. I don't know why.
But then it kind of would complement the flavor. I don't know if. I'm trying to think of something that would. You know, not a dessert, something that's an actual meal, that would go well with this.
I'd like to go with ribs with this. Yeah. Not like a dry rub rib, but like smothered in barbecue sauce, kind of, baby back, kind of go whatever direction with you wanted with the barbecue sauce, but get that, you know, the sweetness, maybe even like some raisiny characters to the barbecue sauce, you know, some of those dark fruitiness and this would, I don't know, it'd be interesting.
That's good. I like that.
Because I think it might pull out some other flavors. The fact that you got a meal that's got some sweetness and some smokiness to it might start pulling out some of the stuff that you're not getting right now.
Right.
Without having food, you know?
Yeah, it might make it chocolatier.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. It's good, but it's so different from, you know, some of the other ones.
If you just handed me this glass and said, what is this? What kind of beer is it? It'd be really hard to nail down a style. Like, porter is not what would immediately jump to my mind.
Right. All right, so.
Sacrilegious as it is, I would almost say like a black lager.
Okay.
It's not quite metallic-y, but it's kind of got that. It doesn't
like a Baltic porter kind of quality. It's got something else. Like it's a little more carbonated. It doesn't have that smooth creaminess that sometimes starts to come out in some of these porters. I can see that. Let's see. Untapped. Rates this at 3.47 out of 11,405 ratings. The most popular places to drink this beer are the Cincy Winter Beer Fest in Cincinnati, Ohio, the Wood and Tap in Hartford, Connecticut, and the Cork. Yeah, it's Hartford, where the Whalers play. Cork City Hoboken in Hoboken, New Jersey. New Jersey.
Certainly.
And the Beer Advocate users rate this an 82, which is good.
Hey, we didn't give any stats on this beer, did we? Or did you guys talk about that when I was
cleaning up? Yeah, we did
while
you were cleaning up. Okay. It was 5.9, and they used chocolate and orange. I think I may have not said that they used chocolate and orange, but I would hope that we kind of gathered that.
How'd you find that out, Mike? Is that like on some secret webpage that you found?
Yeah, it was secret. I had to click on this little thing on the Stone website, and you have to like move the gargoyle's horn and in a twisting motion, and
yeah. It has to be lit by a full moon.
Yeah.
Yes. Elvish runes come out and tell you that it's chocolate and orange.
He drops his mug and it breaks into different shards, and then you have to pick the proper shard of glass to go to.
And then you sacrifice to chicken.
Yes.
Did you mention hashtag smoked porter?
No, I did not mention hashtag smoked porter, verbal hashtag. Hashtag verbal hashtag.
Verbal hashtag.
There you go.
So I guess I will hashtag it, though, when I untap it. So maybe I'll do that before our next segment.
Yeah. Hashtag smoked porter.
Yeah. I'm going to let you wrap this up, Toby, because I forget how to even end this segment.
Well, that's it. Up next is me and Charlie.
Oh, beautifully done. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Beer Coasters podcast. And don't forget to support your local brewery, your local beer pubs, your local beer bars, and your local home brewers, etc. Drink local, because local's fresh. Oh!
And now out west, it's time for Charlie to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we? So, this is Toby out west.
Oh, hey. Hi, and Toby out west.
I'm joined by
Charlie in San Diego.
Stop texting!
And for our tasting flight for the Charlie and the Beer Chocolate Factory. Chocolate Beer Factory.
Beer chocolate. Give me some beer of that chocolate. Beer chocolate. Now that sounds good.
Yeah. We are trying a beer from New Belgium. From the Lips of Faith series, it's called...
Not the old Belgium, but the new Belgium.
Yes, it's called Salted Belgian Chocolate Stout. And they collaborated with Perennial Artisan Ales out of St. Louis, Missouri. St. Louis, Michigan. So, this is a Belgian stout. Comes in at 9% ABV.
Damn.
That's all you know?
Yeah, it's
it's brewed with salt.
Yeah,
it's got salt and chocolate.
they just talk about how it's got a Belgian yeast. So, oh, here we go. The hops are Nugget. The malts are Pale Munich Special with Caramel 220, Carafa 2 Roasted Chocolate Malt, and they throw in some chocolate and some salts. And these
calcium
some
chloride.
Salts.
The salt calcium chloride is used in the brew house to lower the pH.
I thought salt was sodium chloride.
The salt calcium chloride. Cocoa powder is added on the cold side after fermentation, pre-chiller. And Gina's
tapping at the glass
for her beer.
Jumping at the horse blanket.
The salt addition of sodium chloride or table salt
Why
is added
so
after
conveniently out of frame. Can't she? anyway, out of frame, yeah, the... no beer.
So let's crack it. Oh, got Charlie's bottle opener here.
Make sure it's not over my lap.
Let's put it over the the mat
there
here.
There you go. There you got the towel ready, right?
There we go.
All right.
Sweet. So does this, the other brewery, that collaboration, the Perennial, do they only brew once a year, or is that just a name that they just came up with just because, or
Well, Perennial Artisan Ales, yeah, they're out of St. Louis, Missouri. And they, what did you want to know, Mike, that they're,
if, are they, do the they second... just like brew once a year, or, you know, I'm just thinking just because of their name, you know, the Perennial.
Oh,
being that kind of annual thing.
I think it's just a cool name, probably.
I see.
Yeah, I think it's more than just a part-time job for them.
Yeah, we'll brew once a year. That's it.
Is it a perennial when they come back year after year?
Yeah, you come back year after
year. Is
that
what perennial means?
Yeah, I think so.
Alright.
And calcium chloride is a kind of salt. It is not table salt, which is sodium chloride. But calcium chloride is a salt.
Ah, yes. Thank you, Dr. Gina.
Yes.
So, pours out very, very dark. I'm getting a little, some highlights in the bottom there. A little bit of caramel highlights in the little divot down there.
Just at the very bottom of the glass. Otherwise, that is a solid black beer.
Yeah.
Can't even see through it.
On the nose. Whoa.
You weren't sure what you were just whiffing there. You're like, whoa.
It smells kind of sour.
It does, doesn't it?
You're sure it doesn't smell salty?
It's kind of like a salty sour. Almost like,
Sour Patch Kids?
No, like when you pick up some kelp that's been laying on the beach.
That's been rotting with some flies buzzing around.
It kind of has that,
like, salty sour smell.
Sorry, New Belgium. We won't be their spokesperson anytime soon.
But there's
New Belgium is now Old Kelp.
But there's something else.
A Scottish brewery that that brews a beer called Kelpie.
I mean, maybe it's the Belgian yeast that's kind of has a weird mixture with the saltiness or something. You see what I'm saying? There's something weird about it.
I don't know what that is. I wonder if...
I hope it's not like an off aroma.
I think
aroma
it's just
that...
the Belgian yeast. I think we're expecting this... We're expecting a stout.
Yeah.
I mean, we're smelling the yeast mixing in with everything, and it's just a weird combination.
Well, you know, like Belgian stouts are kind of interesting... themselves, you know. We've had a couple of Belgian stouts on the show where it has that, whatever the kind of the esters that you get from the Belgian yeast mixed in with like the roastiness, it does weird things. It's not necessarily bad, but it's just weird and different, and I don't know. And that's kind of what I'm getting on the nose, is just this, there's some weird combination.
Gotcha. Now, is this part of their Lips of Fate series?
Yeah. Yeah. And I haven't figured out how often they come out with these. It seems like they do.
Beer Coasters Hotline, how may I direct your call?
I'd like to call a friend. He's my lifeline.
Beer Coasters Hotline, could you please hold?
Well, let's just take a sip, Charlie.
All right. Sounds good.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Does it Does it taste briny? Oh, the look on your two faces are priceless right now. Trying to figure out what the hell you just drank.
I don't know what I just drank.
It definitely tastes better than it smells.
Okay.
There's definitely chocolate, coffee, and...
Somebody salted really, it.
But again, it's very light and carbonated. It's almost... I mean, it's just like the smoked porter. I mean, it's a different flavor, but I mean, in that sense, though, that...
Yeah.
That light carbonated flavor.
Ooh, I just got a little of a weird fruitiness. Like some sort of a gummy candy. Like real quick.
Got a little Jell-O in your beer?
Yeah, Jell-O, there you go.
Little gummy cola.
Yeah.
It's not... It doesn't taste, like, salty, you know? You don't get, like, you know...
Put the salt in the pudding!
there's no, like, brininess, or it's not brackish.
No.
Like some beers that we've had before that were definitely
that, briny. See, I think that's a great name for a brewery.
Briny Brewery?
No, Brackish.
Oh, Brackish Brewery?
Well, you could call it, like... Brackish beer and ales or something to that effect.
I like this because it's New Belgium Lips of Faith. They did the Coco Mole, right?
Yes.
Do you remember the Coco Mole?
Yep.
One of the
I didn't get weirdest, a chance to try it, but
what was in it?
One of the weirdest, I don't remember what was in it. And I've never had mole, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, me neither.
What I was, you know, Crazy Dave, if he would have had it, I'm sure he would have been able to explain it a little bit better. But
oh, Crazy Dave submitted a I've had recipe it. For
I
it.
I usually get like yeah chicken grade.
For mole.
Yeah,
wow.
And chicken that mole.
That was one of the weirdest beers I'd ever had. Weirder than any of the Voodoo Donut beers, you know. Weirder than the Beard beer. And
weirder than the was Beard there any beer. Flan in it?
And this.
Why don't they make a flan beer?
This kind of reminds me of that a little bit. There is just something that weird something. It's almost like a savory. There's some sort of like savory well, something that's peeking the salt. Out. I guess.
We could have Brackish Brewing's Flan Dutchman.
Flan Dutchman. That is beautiful. Flan Dutchman. Man, that's a beer coaster title if I've ever heard one.
Yeah. But it's sweet at the same time.
Dutchman.
It's weird.
It is a weird beer. I mean, I'm enjoying it. I just don't really know what to think. It does not taste like a stout.
No. But it does have the chocolatiness, and it does have the little bit of roastiness. Actually, I wouldn't even say roastiness. It's more of just like a coffee, but not like that.
A little bit of coffee, but it's not, you know, it's not overpowering.
No.
It's really just in the background, a little bit of aftertaste.
What would you pair with this? Some flan?
Maybe some choco flan.
Choco flan.
Yeah, I had that a couple weeks ago. From Beer Coaster Brittany, actually.
Ah. Did she made it?
I don't remember if she made it or not. Oh. She might have.
She does. It's weird, man. You'll go over there and you don't realize like the stuff that she like whipped up herself. You like
she is
you're thinking that she
in the
you know.
Kitchen.
Yeah.
And you think
amazing.
That she's so precise and measuring things out. No, she's just like
she's not,
I'm
nope.
just going to throw
I'm gonna
a
chop
handful
some
of this.
Hey,
in
I got some
I'm
of this
gonna...
shit. I'll put some of this in here.
Right, I got some of this left over. I don't want it to spoil. I'll throw
and it's
this
amazing.
In.
Amazing.
And it's just yeah.
Yep.
She's crazy. In a good way. We love you, Brittany.
Yep. Crazy
but
good.
You're crazy. I don't know, Toby. What would you pair with it?
Well, I was okay, I'm not making this up. I was thinking some sort of like...
It's a frickin' sandwich, you're fired.
No, I was of a soft pretzel. And, you know, like a big, you know, big German soft pretzel. And when I went, I was like, well, let me see what New Belgium suggests for their food pairings. And one of them is a chocolate-covered pretzel cheesecake, which sounds amazing.
Just pretzel cheesecake in general. I mean, yeah, that sounds great. I love chocolate pretzels. I have a thing for chocolate pretzels. So I would love to try something like that. Chocolate pretzel with, you know,
I wonder
salted
if it's like
beer.
Like pretzel crust.
Just think how thirsty you'd be with salted chocolate pretzels and salted beer. Like, you wouldn't know where to turn. You don't want to freaking drink water.
Pair this with some
water.
You just
want more beer. Yeah. And more pretzels. And more beer.
The other food pairing that they suggest is espresso-rubbed beef short ribs.
Well, you know, I remember Beer Coaster Chris, he used to talk about using chocolate in chili recipes and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the type of thing that this kind of reminds me of. Like, to be able to take recipes like that, you know, using stuff with chocolate and chili pepper, or, you know, rubbing cocoa and coffee on you know, roasts and ribs and that kind of thing.
Well, I'm going to go in a different direction, and I don't know why, but I think of British food. I think of drinking this at a British pub. Not that it's really, it's not a British beer. I mean, it's not even a, you know, it's got Belgian yeast in it. I imagine sitting there at a pub with, you know, a scotch egg or some fish and chips. The main thing that I think of is a shepherd's pie.
Yeah, I can see that.
Can't go wrong there. So, that's some good hearty food.
I'm going to go with shepherd's pie.
Sweet. So the salted Belgian chocolate stout from the New Belgium Lips of Faith series, collaborated with Perennial Artisan Ales on Untappd, comes in at a 3.65 out of 25,462 ratings. Wow. The top three popular locations to enjoy this beverage are the 15th Annual Strong Beer Festival in Phoenix, Arizona, the Hay Merchant in Houston, Texas, and the New Belgium Brewery in Fort Collins, Colorado.
The Hay Merchant is just like his house. He just likes his beer a lot. Yeah. And he just,
it's a barn.
It's the Hay Merchant's house. I just really like this salted Belgian chocolate stout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Feed it to my goats.
Yep.
Really love the milk that they produce.
The Belgian chocolate milk.
goes with short ribs.
It must be a salty, seaworthy cow that's producing that.
Yeah. Seaworthy cows. Yeah, coming to you from Texas.
It's got a peg leg and an eye patch.
Mm-hmm. And it says, brrr.
It says, marr.
That's right. The Beer Advocate users rate this an 84, which is good.
Well, there you go. Salted Sweet. Belgian chocolate stout. New Belgium. It's perennial.
It's worth a try.
Yeah, check it out if you can find it. These Lips of Faith beers, they tend to hang out for a little bit. You know, I keep finding some of these that I go, wow, wasn't that a long time ago that they made that? So I don't know if they keep making them, if they're popular, or if these are all just one-offs and totally, you know, limited. But either way, yeah, this one's interesting. I'll have some more to say about it in Last Call. I know Charlie will.
Absolutely. Cool.
That's what Last Call is all about.
Aces and Ales, Las Vegas's premier craft beer destination. With 22 beers on tap and over 80 rare bottles, you can even get growler fills. Go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. That's Aces and Ales, now with two locations. Visit acesandales.com for more information. All killer, no filler. Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
All right.
Whenever you're ready, go.
Oh, this is Beer Coaster Mike. This time for my tasting flight. My tasting flight comes to you from Evil Genius Beer Company. And the beer I'm drinking... I know, I messed
Evil
up.
Evil Genius. Are they
Evil
a new brewery?
Genius. On the show? It's possible. Yeah. They are.
A new brewery!
Did they go to Evil Medical School?
Yes. Yes. They
have a
learned
plan
how
to take over the world.
They learned how to put frickin' laser beams on sharks' heads. All right, so this beer is called Purple Monkey Dishwasha. That's right. This is a chocolate peanut butter porter from Evil Genius Beer Company. I know it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Evil Genius Beer Company is from Bloomfield, Connecticut. And this beer is available usually from the fall to the spring. It is 6.7 ABV. The IBUs are 35. For malts, they use two-row, crystal, chocolate, roasted barley. And for hops, they use Tetnang and Warrior. I'm going to crack it. All right, it's not exploding on me. That's good.
No. Now we're all skittish.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like that from now on. Every time I open a beer in this office, I'm going to be like, oh, dude, don't blow up on me.
So they actually say they use a secret method of getting that peanut butter and chocolate flavor out of this or into this beer. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, you know, earlier. Like, I don't know how they get some of these nutty flavors in this beer. Like, how do they extract all the oils from whatever, you know, nut they're using, whether it's hazelnuts or, you know, peanuts. You know, peanuts in particular, because I'm trying to think of other nuts that have, you know, that much, you know, oil and whatnot in them. And peanuts come to mind. You know, think of a more oily, you know, nut to use for brewing.
They just throw a Reese's Fast Break, like, into the brewing tank, and it floats around in there for a little while.
Yeah.
Well, when me and Gina brewed our, we did a walnut brown, and we used walnuts, but we had to bake them, like, 10 times on some, and then, you know.
It's almost like a dry roasting kind of thing.
Yeah, just bake them. Dry them out, throw them onto like some, you know, paper bags, let it soak up some of that oil, throw them back in the oven. We did it like 5, 6, 7 times, and it still was like getting oil on the paper bags. And so we ended up just going, all right, this is enough. We've used enough gas for these damn things. So we'll just use them. And we brewed the beer, and the beer turned out pretty good. It was really nutty, and it still managed to keep a head on it, so not as much oil was left over as we feared. Yeah. So
interesting.
I mean, it can be done. A lot of times they'll use extracts and stuff like that, and that was one of our options, is to use a walnut extract.
Yeah.
But either we couldn't find it was too expensive, and we were just like, let's try it with the real walnuts and see how we do. So
you wanted the real thing.
Yeah.
That's what craft beer is all about. We want the real thing. All right, so it's black. I got no head. It's a thin film.
Not much head there at all.
Yeah,
some lacing, but
dissipated kind of quickly. I had maybe like a pinky finger, but it was dissipated pretty quickly. It's the same color as every other beer we've had on the show this week. It's black. Some brown highlights down there at the bottom. It may be a little bit lighter than some, but it's still a pretty damn dark beer. On the nose, damn, it smells like it just broke open a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Nice.
Telling you.
Yeah, I mean, there's a peanut butter smell. There's a cocoa, chocolate, milk chocolate kind of smell to it. And yeah, I mean, you could pick them out kind of plain as day. Beyond that, it's tough to get to the beer aromas. You're just kind of smelling the peanut butter cup. Maybe some roast, a little bit of roastedness. Like, there's a little roastiness in there, but
does it smell like it's going to be really sweet, or is it more of just kind of a nutty, dark chocolate kind of?
It smells like a peanut butter cup. It really does. Like, if you broke open a peanut butter cup, it's what it smells like, because you're getting that peanut butter aroma with the chocolate. I gotta take a sip, because beyond that, I'm not getting any kind of, you know, roasted, portery kind of roasted malts and stuff. Maybe because this one's still pretty cold. I actually have one from earlier that might be warm.
Taking a sip, yeah.
It's got a, well, it's got kind of a dry, grainy, peanut buttery flavor to it. And but everything else is kind of dry and grainy too. Like there's like a dry cocoa kind of flavor. It doesn't seem to have as much carbonation as the smoked porter did. I guess I'll talk more about this in the last call as far as like, I don't want to get into that side of it.
Kind of a gritty mouthfeel though? Is it kind of like...
It just, like the maltiness is like, it is grainy. It's kind of hard to describe. It just has kind of a grainy kind of mouthfeel. And the cocoa is like powdery. Like there's something that's doing that to my tongue, that's like the flavors are kind of dissipating, and it's kind of weird.
It's kind of like getting those healthy peanut butter cups at Whole Foods versus the Reese's kind.
Well, even the Reese's kind has a crumbly peanut butter, which seems to work better than when they try to do a peanut butter cup and they use smooth like creamy peanut butter. It doesn't work for me.
No, it's got to snap in half. It's got to be dry enough.
It's got to be dry and crumbly.
I went to Ballast Point to their Homebrew Mart tasting room, and they had Victory at Sea brewed with peanut butter Cap'n Crunch.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Peanut butter brewed with it.
That's what, yes. That was, they had like five different versions of Victory at Sea, and one of them was peanut butter Cap'n Crunch. I think it came up on Untappd
as
like
try
peanut
it?
Butter cereal because you couldn't put Cap'n Crunch
whatever. Did you get to taste
Yeah, I
it?
Got that one, and I got one that was brewed with cashews. And it wasn't like super peanut buttery. But
cashews sounds interesting to me. I've thought about that before, like brewing with cashews, but it's having that complementary flavor to go with the cashews. It's, I think, the tricky part. Yeah.
I would never think of brewing with cereal.
Yeah. It was good. I mean,
they have like the Count Chocula style. And...
You know what tastes like cereal is that Sam Adams, was it the Cold Snap? It tastes like breakfast cereal. Like it has almost like a Fruit Loopy, something kind of fruity breakfast cereal flavor to it.
No,
I'm not a fan
Fruity
of
Pebbles.
It. I don't
I've
like
had
it.
I've had the Cold Snap.
I think it's a Cold Snap. It's one of those. Or if it's not the Cold Snap, then it's like their spring, whatever their spring beer is. Can't remember. Anyway, speaking of food, if cereal qualifies,
some cereal.
I'm not going to pair this with cereal.
oh, come on.
Some regular because it has such a grainy, powdery strangeness that it's kind of messing with my palate here. I want something kind of creamy. I do. I want, well, not maybe milk with the beer. I don't know if that's such a great combo, but then again, if ice cream, why not milk? But I think, and it's kind of a lame pairing, we do it a lot, but cheesecake with this might help me kind of identify what the hell's going on, because there's something that's so, get that, I don't know, it's like prickly, powdery, grainy.
Does it have a lot of the peanut butter flavor?
Yeah, I mean, there's peanut butter. It tastes like peanut butter. The chocolate is more cocoa flavor. The aroma was smelled like milk chocolate.
Because I think of peanut butter, and then I think of something like celery sticks.
Okay.
Like something totally on the opposite end.
Gotcha.
Of what
go
peanut butter is,
kind of
instead of like the thick and sweet
crispy.
And rich. Yeah. Or like a sliced apple or something.
Some kind of apple, and even just a slice of apple pie with this might be interesting. Yeah, I'm going to switch it up and go with apple pie. I think that might be an interesting combination. who is it? Purple Monkey Dishwasher. Just in case you guys were trying to remember that title again. Hey, there's a picture of my dog.
Drinking out of it.
Drinking the Purple Monkey Dishwasher. Holy crap.
It's not the same glass you were drinking out of.
Oh, you know what? I think it is. God damn it. Did she really do that to me? I'm going to kick her ass.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Oh, that's funny.
Unbelievable.
So, Renee untapped this beer and took a picture of it. And the dog is drinking out of the glass. And that is now the glass that Mike is
not drinking. The glass that I'm using right now. It's the glass that she handed me because she was done drinking. Ah, wonderful. Unbelievable.
Well, maybe now we know where that gritty flavor is coming
from. Yeah. Maybe now. Yeah, I'm getting a little kibble. Yeah. Wow. Okay, so
it's good for your teeth, though. It's like, you know, good dental hygiene.
Yeah. Untapped rates this 3.68 out of 7,608 ratings. The top three places to drink this beer is with your dog, and it's the Rivertown North Shore in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Uno's Pizzeria and Grill in Hamilton, New Jersey, and Highland Pizzeria. Apparently pizza is a big pairing with this beer. Yes. And the Highland Pizzeria in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I know I mentioned pizza. The number four place is also a pizza place. It's Anthony's Coal-Fired Pizza in Wyomissing. I'm sure I'm butchering that name. And it's Pennsylvania. So, there you go. And the...
Wyomissing, Pennsarginia.
Yeah. I'm going to give you one more rating here that I should have had up already, and I didn't. Crazy Dave doesn't like, but we're going to do it anyway. And that's the Beer Advocate users rate this an 85, which is very good. Just one extra point goes from good to very good. Did you notice that, folks?
Yeah.
Why does Crazy Dave not like Beer Advocate?
I don't know. I think he's like... You know what? You have to ask him. I think he had issues with the Ahlstrom brothers for something, and then we decided... I don't know. I still use the users. Like, I'll give the users ratings, but I won't give the brothers ratings if they did it. But I can't remember what that stems from.
Yeah, it's been so long, I can't remember either.
And there was an episode that me and Toby were killed by the Ahlstrom brothers. I don't know if you guys remember that episode.
Murdered?
Yeah, they shot us.
They
shot us dead.
With some Tommy guns.
Is that the, like, the... some Tommy guns, that's right. Alternative, or alternative ending or something? It was the alternate beer show, right?
Yeah, it was the alternate ending. It was the end of our season, like end of season three or something like that.
Yeah.
And
we did kind of a Scooby-Doo ending.
Yeah.
And it was like Dallas, like who killed the beer coaster?
Yeah.
Yep. Then oddly enough, we came back the following week. Anyway.
There you go.
So there you go. There you have it, folks. We're going to talk a little bit more about these beers, all of these beers that we've drank this week, and Last Call coming up very soon.
Gemini Lounge, a chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
Mr. Jeremy C. Carr says, I think one beer or one drink of a can of juice, I think maybe or less than four to the maximum of three in the last 24 hours. Yeah, you know, it's been a long time since we've done a backwash segment.
Yeah.
I mean...
Do we even still have the jingle?
Yeah.
Oh, time for some backwash. Check the Beer Coasters email and hotline. Yeah.
It's probably been, I want to say it's been a year since we've done this segment.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. We don't get any backwash anymore.
Huh.
And sometimes if it's, like, on Untappd where somebody comments or says something, we'll just kind of throw it in on last call as part of a shout-out. But this was an actual email that was sent to us. So
yeah.
I think Charlie, we'll let Charlie read this one.
All right, sounds good.
All right. Dear Beer Coasters.
Hey, that's us.
I have a question in regards to storing beer. I recently found out through you that Stone Brewing Company will be discontinuing my favorite beer, Sublimely Self-Righteous, aka 11th Anniversary. I know that they have Drink By, Enjoyed By, Drink Fresh, Do Not Open Till dates on some of their brews.
That's true. They like to tell us when we should drink their beer.
Yeah.
Right. And then you can buy some more.
Yeah.
Do you know, in regards to this specific 11th anniversary, the length of which I can store this beer and still remain enjoyable when I open it? If so, can you tell me, in your best opinion, the temperature, cellar, fridge, or cryogenically frozen, or conditions I should be storing this beer at? I appreciate you taking my question and appreciate your response. Kenneth from Southern California.
Do you want me to give my two cents first?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm a big fan of cryogenics. I'm going to put it kind of simply. The Sublimely Self-Righteous is a black IPA.
Yeah.
It's not really a style that you'd want a cellar. If you want to keep it, I suggest keeping it cold. You know, back of the fridge, it really won't age. In the back of the fridge. I mean, over time, yes, it's going to kind of possibly, you know, that there could be some leakage and stuff. The air, you know, if it's not like a really good seal and that kind of thing, can spoil beer over time. But I've had some pretty good luck just keeping stuff in the beer fridge, keep it in or you know, just your regular fridge in the back of the fridge. Kind of keep it as cold as possible, so it will age very little, and you usually have some pretty good luck. A beer like a black IPA, keep it cold. Hopefully, you're not going to get a lot of those things that, you know, will start to spoil. But it's not a beer that you would ever want to cellar. It's just not that style. That's my quick and dirty response.
Well, when you know, there's a chance that over time the hops will fade, and that's one of the things where, you know, if you have a hoppy beer like an IPA or something like that, where, you know, over time, that's why they have the whole enjoy by, because they want you to drink it when it's super fresh. You know, it's usually within 3 months.
Right.
Is their freshness, you know, before the hops start to kind of drop off, and they're not. It's not going to be as fresh as it could. But yeah, I mean, there's so many different conditions where you pick it up at the beer store. It could have been sitting on the shelf for a month, two
That's
months at room temp.
Yep.
And then you take it home, put it in the fridge. I would say with a beer like that, you know, drink it within a year. If you're keeping it in your fridge and it's not moving, I say within a year it'll be fine. It's not going to get horrible. It won't be as good as, you know, super fresh, but you know, it's probably tiny, you know, tiny little differences that you might be able to pick out, but that's just in my opinion. I would say, you know, drink it within 6 months, but
no, I mean, ideally, yes, you want to drink it while it's fresh. But you know, just trying to give you some options if you want to kind of, if you know it's being discontinued and you want to buy up some, but yeah,
yeah.
Toby's right about, you know, after a year, you know, there's definitely more things that can happen that, can kind of take away from that, the freshness that it once had, you know, losing a little hop character from a stone beer, you know,
yeah,
sometimes that's not always a bad true. Thing. It's not like Stone doesn't have plenty of hops to spare,
right?
In the flavor or aromas of any of their beer. So,
and I have a feeling that Kenneth probably picked up a case, yeah. And so that's probably why he's wondering, you know, should I drink this all now, or you know, can I have one a week? You know, and a couple months down the road, is it going to be okay? So
yeah,
and he might not even have room in his fridge. You know, he might have to stick it in his garage or something, or in the closet.
See, that's one more benefit to living in New England here in the wintertime. I can just toss it on the back deck and everything's fine. You know, I don't have to refrigerate anything. It's like Mother Nature's refrigerator.
So besides temperature, what about conditions?
Yes.
Beer Coasters Hotline, how may I direct your call? Beer Coasters, could you please hold?
Your call is important to us.
Please hold the line.
Beer Coasters, what do you want?
All right, so you were saying, what was it, Charlie? Conditions?
So the conditions, so besides just the temperature, like I'm assuming that this is like a 22-ounce bottle, because I think that's
all they sell. I think that's all that comes in.
No, I think they do six-packs.
Really?
Yeah, I think they actually started doing six-packs, yeah.
But either way, you know, this is bottled, so it's got a, you know, crimped bottle cap on the top.
Yeah. Oh, could you imagine if they canned Self-Righteous? Then you'd be golden. Yeah. That would be fantastic.
So what about like, taking that 22 and like turning it upside down in a glass of water and storing it that way? So that way all the air is up at the top of the bottle. Air, you don't get any carbonation lost.
Right.
You don't lose the seal around the
That's
cap.
Fancy.
Yeah.
That's like Mr. Wizard style storing of Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Yeah.
Tips and tricks.
So at that point, you're doing is just the pure aging of the beer itself. You're not really getting any, you know, leakage, air, carbonation, anything like that being lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I haven't done any homework about, you know, storing the beers upside down. I know that, you know, beers are always big on being upright in one form or another, but I haven't really done too much homework about the upside down.
Well, the beer itself doesn't know that it's upside down. It's
well, I know. You don't have to tell it. You know, if you want to be dishonest, it's
like getting a head rush, you know, or something.
But I like to be honest with my beers, and if I tip it upside,
I think that only comes in is when it's a like a bottle conditioned beer, then you want to store it upright. You know, because you want that whatever is in the, you know, yeasties that are left over can settle at the bottom instead of settling. You know, if you store it on its side, then you've got a whole line of stuff settling along the entire length of the bottle instead of just at the bottom if you have it stored upright. That's one way to, you know, store your beer upright when it's important is if it's bottle conditioned. But if it's not bottle conditioned, you know, you shouldn't have to worry about which way you're storing it. But like Charlie's saying, if you want to completely knock out any chance of any kind of leakage or any kind of spoilage like that, then yeah, that that makes sense.
Which is one of the most common things to happen too is you know, the air, you know, the bottle cap, whoever designed, you know, the bottle cap, just that whole method is quite flawed, really, in design, you know, compared to some other things.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's just so much variation that can, you know, a big mass production bottling line. I mean, the bottle that you're getting, that you're choosing to store for a long time. I mean, you really have no idea how tight that cap is.
Right.
And I mean, that might have been one of the issues with our beer tonight, why it took off as soon as we opened it. There might have been, I don't know, something wrong with how it was bottled and capped, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I hope we helped you somewhat, Kenneth. I hope we didn't confuse you.
All I say is more than we needed good luck, and when in doubt, just buy a whole bunch anyway, and just be sure you drink it, because, you know, or, talking earlier with the Sublimely Self-Righteous, they're going to discontinue that, and the Levitation Ale, which is one of my favorite beers. I'm definitely, you know, buying it and drinking it right now. I've got some in my fridge right now just to enjoy, because I've always liked it a lot, and I think they're doing their last run this month in February, and they said it should, you know, last in stores, and, you know, through May or so, depending on the demand. But, you know, enjoy it while it's available.
Yeah.
And I'm an sure alternative, still... you know, maybe reach out to some home brewers, because there's got to be clones out there of this beer.
Yeah.
If you know, to try to replicate this. Yeah, I don't know. Right. I hope we helped.
Yeah.
We definitely gave you enough. We definitely gave you enough to keep you busy for a little while.
All right, folks. Well, if you wanna get us send us some backwash, you can send us an email, backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also reach out to us on Facebook, Beer Coasters, and on Twitter, @BeerCoastersPod.
Yeah.
You can drunk email us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or you drunk can email. Call our backwash guy. Hotline.
The hotline's been going off the hook tonight.
Yeah.
Oh.
339-225-9274. Or 339-BACKWASH without
the C.
B-A-K.
Program it into your phone. Just do that.
Just speed dial it.
Yeah. And name it Drunk Dial. And then every time you're drunk...
You won't even know. We've had some guy call in that doesn't even remember why he had the number.
Yeah.
And he was all drunk. And he was drinking whiskey instead. But he was still calling in. He's like, he didn't remember.
He called in twice. I remember did he tell you what kind of whiskey number. He was drinking?
No, I don't think he did.
Ah.
But he was drunk.
Yeah. It was a for sure.
Well, if it was whiskey, it wasn't Dave then.
No, it wasn't Dave. It was just some random guy that remembered to call the number. Okay. and he's talking about the whiskey he was drinking. It was funny. I love the drunk dial. I really wish we got more drunk dials. I really do.
You should change the phone number to 1-800-DRUNK-DIAL.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right, cheers.
All right, everybody, last call.
Let's go.
Call. That's right, folks, the last call. This is where we do some pint ratings and shout-outs, and I'll wrap up this damn show. Up first, Toby and Charlie.
Yeah.
You get to do ratings now?
Yeah. Yep, right now. Stone Smoked Porter with chocolate and orange peel. Go!
All right, I'm going to give this a 3.5 pints.
All right.
Because, you know, smoked porter is really good. It's always been one of my favorites. And, you know, Mike and I were talking earlier about just all the different options that Stone's done with this beer. You know, the standard, just straight smoked porter is awesome. It's just a standby. I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those porters. I mean, I think that and Alaskan smoked porter is just kind of the porters that all others are judged by. Stone does so many different variations. You know, there's, they do the vanilla bean and the chipotle, and, you know, this one, the chocolate and orange peel. I'll admit, it's not my favorite. I really like the vanilla bean one. This one is, you know, it's worth trying. It's really, it's good. It's a really interesting flavor. It's not really my go-to, but it's definitely a good.
Steal that name.
yes, I think they did. But
go to,
you know,
go
they still
buy,
it's not
they
go-to.
By, drink
they
fresh,
have not,
don't open till.
They have not released a go-to porter yet, so I'm gonna take that name right now.
All right.
But you know, this
I'd
one
love to
the
have a go-to porter. I don't think I have a go-to porter.
No.
I should.
Fuller's London Porter.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. London. But I'm gonna give it 3.5 pints. You know, I think it's a really good, solid effort. I think it's, you know, it's definitely worth trying. I've tasted better smoked porters, though. As far as the New Belgium, the salted Belgian chocolate stout, it's kind of weird.
It's as weird as it sounds, folks.
You know, it's, as far as trying something different, it's up there among the best of anything. You know, and it's what craft brewing is all about. I mean, there are so many crazy different brews out there, and just trying so many different flavors and just seeing what works, and this is definitely in that category of, you know, how many different flavors can we put together? I mean, the chocolate, the salt, the Belgian yeast, and making a stout out of it, you know, of all the styles that you can choose. It's not what I was expecting at all. You know, Toby and I were tasting it, or just at first, I mean, just the aroma, just smelling it, couldn't quite put our finger on it. The flavor isn't really what we were expecting it to be based on the aroma. Really, again, it's, you know, just like the smoked porter, it's definitely worth trying. I'm gonna give it a 3 pints. I think it's decent. You know, I love chocolate beers. There's some chocolate in there, but there's so many other different flavors going on. It's a little confusing. You know, you taste it, you don't really just get the flavor off the bat. You know, if you go for a normal, you know, a chocolate stout or something like a rogue chocolate stout, instant you taste it, you're just like, oh my god, that chocolate flavor, it's great, and you want to take another sip. This one, you kind of take a sip and you're thinking for about 5 minutes. It's like, what is that? I don't know what I'm drinking right now. So it's a little confusing. I think there's kind of too many flavors, honestly, going on in it for my taste, but it's really worth trying out, so I'll give that one 3 pints.
Alright.
What do you think, Toby?
Well, I would disagree with you on the Stone Smoked Porter with chocolate and orange peel. I don't know if I feel kind of bad because I think something went wrong with this bottle, and the rating that I'm going to give it, you know, I feel bad because I feel like, oh, I want to try this again with a bottle that didn't explode on me. But I don't know. I mean, it's got the smokiness and it has the orange peel, but there's something about it that is just, I don't know, something is off. And so I'm going to go 2.5. The only reason why I would get this again is to see if the next bottle that I get, if it opens fine and pours fine, if it changes much. But I don't know if I can get it again because it's, you know, limited edition, and I don't even know if we can find it anymore. But anyway, yeah, 2.5. I really like the other Stone Smoke porters that they put out, the vanilla bean and the chipotle one. I thought those were great. But this one, yeah, just, I don't know, something about it I'm just not digging on. It's just not doing it for me, I guess. But yeah, 2.5. I mean, I drank the whole thing. Of course.
Right. What about your...
2.5 doesn't mean I'm going to pour it down the drain. What about That's your... like a half.
New... What about your new pint. Belgium salted thing?
I'm with Charlie on this one. I mean, it's not bad. It's very interesting, a little strange. Yeah, it's something I would tell people to check out. You know, if you like, I keep going back to this mole thing, and I haven't even had mole, but it reminds me of.
I like mole. Mole is
good. It reminds me of the Coco Mole that New Belgium did a couple years ago. So I think if you're into that kind, those type of flavors, you know, like the chocolatey, savory something, salty stuff, whatever, definitely check it out.
That's their next beer. Chocolatey, savory something.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's good. But it's just kind of weird. You know, and I don't know if I would get this again unless I was like taking it to a party and saying, "Hey, you guys, just check this out. It's kind of a weird beer." You know, but yeah, 3 pints, not bad.
All right.
How about you, Mike?
Well, I'm gonna approach this from a little different angle, I think, than you guys did. Smoked porter for me from Stone used to be one of my favorites before they've come out with a few other ones, you know, since then. I'm kind of like, the smoked porter for me is a 5. Smoked porter with vanilla and chipotle pepper, I enjoy, but I don't think I like them as much as the original, just the smoked porter. And I was trying to look to see if I could find my ratings from those, and I can't. We've done so many Stone beers, and I can't seem to find, because I wanted to see what I rated the vanilla, because we did the vanilla and the chipotle, I think, in one show. But anyway, I'm going to guess that I maybe rated those 4.5. This one, I like the least amount out of any of the smoked porters with a category, so I'm going to give this a 4. But honestly, if they came out with some other flavors, I think that may, no matter what it is, it may jump ahead of it. This is my least favorite of the smoked porters with series. But I like smoked porter so much, so I'm really torn. But I'm going to assume that Stone is going to come out with another flavor to add to the smoked porter. So in that case, I'm going to knock this down another half pint.
Uh-oh.
And give it a 3.5.
Ooh. Wow.
Only because I like the other ones so much better. And I'm just kind of disappointed with... Like, something doesn't balance out for me. Something's not right. And I can't quite figure out what it is. Don't get me wrong. I still am enjoying drinking this beer. And I will finish it. But compared to the others, it just doesn't compare. But by itself, I mean, I still enjoy it. It's still very drinkable, and I would still have other people try this, because this may be more of their flavor combination. You know, taste is subjective. So anyway, I could go on and on and not make any sense the longer I go on. Right. So I'm just going to stop now.
It's like saying it's the slowest Porsche 911 you've ever driven.
I guess. Yes, that's a good analogy. Sure. Yes.
It's not exactly a, you know, an Aztec.
Right.
Yep. It's still a 911.
That's right. Yeah, I guess that's kind of how I feel about it. Because, I mean, I love smoked porter. I think it's a fantastic beer. And I was really looking forward to this chocolate and orange peel, but it just... I can't quite pinpoint it. Something's off, and I can't figure out what it is. There you go. Purple Monkey Dishwasher. You know what I want from this beer is not this to be a regular offering and not in a 6-pack, because I think that this beer, if they had it in a 22 and it was an imperial version of this, a bigger, bolder, maybe a bit smoother, less carbonated, I think I would absolutely love it. I'm going to give this a 3 just because of this weird powdery graininess that I was talking about before. But I think if they could make like a more like reserve series or limited imperial series of this, I think it would be phenomenal. And it's got great flavors, you know, that, I mean, it tastes like a peanut butter cup beer, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm giving it a 3. But I know Renee would rate it much higher, and she's going to be really disappointed when she hears my rating of this. Because we've been drinking these. We've had a 6-pack of them, and I think there's one left. Apparently my dog's been drinking it as well. So, you know, it can't be that bad. Yeah. Apparently it's a family favorite around here.
Still waiting for somebody to brew a Cadbury cream egg beer.
Yeah. Cadbury cream ale.
The Cadbury cream ale.
Yes.
Chocolate cream ale. Probably really good.
Chocolate cream ale, yeah, but I don't know how they would match that weird white creamy center. And the yolk.
With the yolk. The yellow center that just floats. Oh, that'd be creepy.
Yep. All right. Shout outs. Yes, I got some, but you go first because I forgot to untap my Purple Monkey dishwasher.
Go ahead, Charlie. You got any shout outs?
I want to give a shout out to the Ritual Tavern in North Park, San Diego. My girlfriend and I just went to they had a Valentine's Day dinner, and they basically did a beer pairing with Alesmith Brewing, and they had a lineup of 5 different Alesmith beers, culminated with their My Bloody Valentine, which is an Imperial Red Ale that they had on cask. They had that with the main course, and they had a few of their other beers just with, you know, paired with different foods. They had their, you know, started off with just the Alesmith X, the Pale Ale, and then it kind of built it up through there. Just phenomenal. And, you know, they don't, it's not a big place. They're kind of a local, just little hangout, but they just love what they do, the cooking, the food, everything. And for them to pair with Alesmith, who's kind of a small brewery, but, you know, they're really well known in San Diego, that was just phenomenal.
Best brewery in San Diego.
And they're just, yeah, they're always supporting craft beer. Stacy is the owner. I want to give a shout out to Stacy for putting the whole thing together. So yeah, Ritual Tavern, if you're ever in San Diego in North Park area on 30th Street, they are absolute tops. It's a great place to go hang out.
I love that place.
People, yeah.
Absolutely love the place.
Really knowledgeable on craft beer, all the local breweries and everything. So, yeah, Ritual Tavern.
I want to give a big shout out to Beer Coaster Charlie. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was fun.
And,
yeah, thanks for coming on.
Kenneth for the backwash. Thank you.
We hope we were helpful.
And I want to give a shout out on Twitter. I want to give a shout out to James Beaverton, Beertainment, and Craft Shack Beer, and of course, Jeffrey Fancy.
Oh, he's so fancy.
I want to give a big shout out to Santa Rosa Beer Fest, also Bad Martha, No Dumb Drivers, Jared Moore, Al Bargan, Nicole Ernie, Pumpkin Peach Ale, which they started following me the day after the last show we did. And they're kind of dedicated to fussing over beer. And I got such a kick out of that, so I want to give them a big shout out to Pumpkin Peach Ale on Twitter. Also, Lords of the Drink, which I'm sure I've given them a shout out several times. Fuji 1546 and Danny Coco.
Danny Coco?
Yeah, Danny Coco. And I think,
I have a couple more. Hang on a second.
Okay. Shout out some more, if you'd like.
Let's see. Shout out to Peter Van Wijk, Avocado Alvord.
Did she toast you?
She either liked or commented something on our Facebook page.
Oh, she probably said we were stupid.
But for her, that's a compliment.
Yes, and yes. For those of you who don't know.
Delane Cooper and Connie Carlson on Facebook. Thanks for checking us out.
Connie Carlson. Connie Carlson.
Carlson. Cheers.
Sounds like a country singer. Cheers.
See you next month. Next time.
We don't know what we're doing yet, but we'll see you.
I think we've got a Dead Men show in the works coming up.
Yeah. Well, that might not be next, but...
Yeah, it's coming up, though.
It's coming up soon. Next month.
It's about to set sail.
Might have a Weird
Ale. On the fourth voyage.
Coming up.
Which
not
one?
That this wasn't weird enough. We got Purple Monkey Dishwasher. That's not a weird enough name for a beer. I think I win as far as beer titles this week.
Yeah,
you guys win. Didn't know. Gosh. You guys didn't know you were having a contest, but
I won.
No, nice to know after the fact.
I thought Salted Belgian Chocolate Stout would have won, but
yeah, that's what you thought.
It's a pretty good one.
Till I pulled out the Purple Monkey Dishwasher. All right, folks. Cheers.
The dishes did not turn out perfect.
Yeah. Or I hope a monkey didn't do them.
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters. Podcast with us next week, right here on Beer Coasters.
I said extract. Damn it, did she really do that to me? I'm going to kick her ass.
Beer Coasters, what do you want?
Oh, good show. Jolly good show.